How about now? Yeah, there we go. It'd help if I'd push the button, wouldn't it? One day at a time. Amen. Face one trouble, one trial, one mountain, one valley, one need at a time. Amen. Thank God for the good singing, people being obedient this morning. I want you to take your Bibles just for a few minutes and go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, that's out right after the book of James, Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. And of course, it's right before 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I heard a preacher was down there in Florida, and I believe he really brought some light to the Word of God. Over there in Psalms, when it talks about praising God, and it goes through all those instruments, and he talks about that instrument of 10 strings. I've always wondered what that instrument of 10 strings was, Brother Jody. He said he figured it out. It was 2 5-string banjos. Amen. I thought, yeah, hallelujah. That's inspirational right there. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Y'all say amen when you get there. 1 Peter chapter 4, and look it with me at verse number 10. The Bible said, as every man hath received the gift, even so the same one to another, as good stewards of the, say the next two words with me, manifold grace of God. He said, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to talk about those two words this morning, the manifold grace of God. That word manifold, it means it's many-sided. Amen. Do you understand how many? I thought about when I read that. I love to watch westerns, and all the time in the western movies, they've always got the snake oil salesman. Y'all know who I'm talking about? The guy in the with a little cart, and he stops in every town, and he gets out, and he's a barker. You know, he yells, and he draws a crowd, and he says he's got the elixir that will cure anything. I mean, it's one elixir, but you can use it as hair tonic. You can use it for aches and pains. It'll cure anything. It's one elixir, but it'll take care of it all. Amen. Now, that was very much phony and a lie, but grace is a lot like that. It's one grace, but it's manifest in many, many, many different ways. If you knew how many times a day you experience the grace of God, it would blow your mind. Amen. Listen, when you get up, when you open your eyes in the morning, it is by the grace of God. Amen. I don't know how many have went to bed at night with plans for the next day and never saw another sunrise. I thought about my friend, Paul Fields. I loved him. He was my buddy. I thought about Brother Paul, who helped me start the bus ministry at our church. He laid down to bed one night with his little wife and probably had plans for the next day. But when morning came, his body was cold. Sometime during the night, he slipped out to be with the Lord. So every day when you open your eyes, it's by the grace of God. Look here, do this with me. You know what that was? That was grace. That was grace. One of these days you're going to do that for the very last time. Amen. Every day you get up and you breathe God's air, it's the grace of God. Listen, if you arrive safely at your workplace tomorrow, it will be by the grace of God. If you get back home, especially if you have to drive toward or anywhere toward Atlanta, I mean, brother, you get in there and out of there, it's by the grace of God. Amen. Hey, every time I get on an airplane, I bow my head and I say a little prayer. Lord, get us there safely. Lord, let it be a good flight. Everybody asks me the stupidest question every time. You know, I fly all the time. Every time I get in the car with a preacher or whoever's picking me up, first thing out of their mouth, did you have a good flight? Well, I'm here, ain't I?
Amen.
Amen. It took off and it landed. To me, that constitutes a good flight. Amen. I mean, sometimes it's a great flight and I don't have to sit by a crying baby. Amen. That's a great flight. Every now and then I get first class, and that's a really great flight. But if it takes off and lands, that's a good flight.
Yes,
amen. Amen. The grace of God. It is amazing how many times a day, if God peeled back the curtain and let you see what could have been.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Do you know, I believe, and you may disagree with me, and that's okay, but I'm the one doing the preaching, okay?
Amen, preacher.
Amen. I don't believe you could live one single day outside the grace of God.
You're right, preacher.
I believe that.
That's
I don't believe you could live one single day outside the grace of God. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We get the mentality that only God's people, those who are saved and have trusted Christ as their Savior, we get the mentality that those are the only ones experiencing God's grace. No, those who don't even know Him, those who reject Him, still experience His grace day in and day out. Hey, God, by grace, got me to the point where I could be saved. It's by the grace of God I wasn't killed as a teenager. It's by the grace of God I hadn't fallen out of a deer stand 30 feet in the air and broke my stinking neck. It's a wonder I wasn't killed on a horse when we was riding them stupid bucking horses. I mean, brother, there's no telling what all God had done to get me to the point of salvation. And I think even in our Christian lives, we take God's grace for granted. We misuse the grace of God. He said we're supposed to be good stewards of it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And not take it for granted.
Amen.
We need to learn to trust in the grace of God.
Amen.
And we need to learn to allow the grace of God to work in our life. Do you know how many times my flesh fights grace? God's trying to do something His way and I'm trying to do something my way, and you'd think I'd learned over the years that God's way is always the best way and God's way is always the great way, and it's usually the easy way.
Amen.
Amen. The manifold grace of God. I started going through, I believe I found 159 times grace is mentioned in the Bible, so I got 159 points this morning.
Amen. Amen.
I'm kidding. I just picked out a few of the different types of grace. It's the same grace, just operating in a different realm. Do you understand that? It's the same grace, it's a manifold grace. It's the same grace operating in a different realm. Listen, I may need certain kind of grace. I need preaching grace right now. Amen. I need God's wisdom and God's guidance. Amen. I got about 5 words wrote down on this sheet of paper right here. Look, there's my outline from the hotel where we stayed. I mean, there ain't a whole lot to it. So I need God to illuminate my mind and give me what I need. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to need another kind of grace. And Tuesday I'll need a different kind of grace. I may need 4 or 5 different kind of graces in one day.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Listen, I just want you to wake up, and this may be real simple to some of you, but if it's so simple it's boring, and your life doesn't reflect that you really understand what I'm preaching this morning. Amen. Listen, I'm praying for the grace of God to touch Brother Anthony. I'm praying, brother, if he walks out of that hospital, it will be the grace of God. You understand that? I believe my son is sitting right back there this morning, and I believe he's sitting there because of the grace of Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
He had the same type head injury as Brother Anthony, just not quite as severe. It's the grace of God. Grace, grace, God's grace. Oh, boy. Are you thankful for it?
Yes, sir.
How often do you stop and just literally get on your knees and say, God, thank you for your grace? Somebody sat in my office one day, and they're here this morning, and I don't mean to hurt a feeling, but they made a statement. I didn't say anything then, but they said, Preacher, I hadn't done anything to deserve this. And I understand the mentality, and I understand the thinking. What we deserve is nothing.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Do you understand that? What we deserve is nothing. I heard a story about a preacher whose son was killed, little son, maybe just 4 or 5 years old. He was ran over by a car. And when they approached the preacher in the funeral home to comfort him, here's what he had to say. I just thank the Lord that I got to have him for 4 years, because I didn't deserve a little boy like that. And in 4 years, he brought more sunshine in my life than I'll ever know. So I'm just thankful for those 4 years. You understand? That's the mentality that we ought to have. Hey, come December, I've had my wife for 30 years. Brother, that is the grace of God. And if it ended tomorrow, I'd have to say thank God for what I've had thus far.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. We deserve nothing. There's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are worthy of any of the blessings of God. We only experience them because of the grace of God.
Amen, preacher.
And we only experience the grace of God because of the love of God.
Yes. Amen.
Y'all quit looking at your watches. I'm looking at mine. I can't see it from here, but I'm looking at it. I want to talk about several different types of grace I found in the Bible. And I believe the first one is foremost and important when it comes to the grace of God. And that's saving grace. And that's saving grace. The book of Romans, the book of Romans said, or Ephesians chapter 2 said, for by grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Why am I on my way to heaven? Not because I'm Sandra White's son. Not because I was raised up in a good church and heard good preaching. Not because I had a good choir. Not because we just because we had the right Bible. I'm saved this morning because of the grace of Almighty God. It was the grace of God that came at a New Year's Eve party and dealt with my heart and led me to salvation. It is the grace of God that I'm not in hell this morning. I'm not going to heaven because I preach the word of God. I'm not going to heaven because I travel the country. I'm not going to heaven because I've been a good husband or a good daddy. I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God. Saving grace. Saving grace. You know what it is? It's absolutely amazing. It really is. It's absolutely amazing. I can understand maybe why God would save some people. But others, it blows my mind. Do y'all ever think like that? Yeah. I mean, I grew up, there was a couple of guys in church that I thought about Brother Jeff Bird, and he's pastoring right down the road, and he's my dear friend. Brother Jeff was one of those good guys. Yeah. Wasn't he, Brother Jody? He never done nothing wrong. You never heard nothing bad. Wasn't nothing ever said about Brother Jeff. Oh, he's a good boy. That's all you'd ever hear about Jeff Bird. Still to this day, he's a good man. And he kind of like remind me of Brother Charles, just almost sinless perfection if you're just looking on the surface of. And I know better. I know better, but it didn't surprise me that God had saved somebody like that. But then there was a little boy who sat toward the back of the church, wrote in the song books and throwed rocks through windows and broke in Sunday school classes and fought out behind the church after church. And that's the one that amazed me, that God had saved somebody like that. You say, who was that one? It's me, amen. Hey, and I got the same and got, Lord. God didn't save old Brother Jeff no different than he saved me. I got the same salvation old Bird got. I got the same salvation old Shay got. Hey, I didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. It was just the grace of God. How many of you going to heaven when you die? Shout amen. You ain't got nothing to do with it. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's what drove John Newton to pen those words. He was a slave trader. He was a wicked and a vile man.
Amen, preacher.
I mean, he challenged God in the middle of a storm out on the sea. And he said something to the effect, if you get us through this, I'll believe you exist.
Yeah.
God got him through it.
That's right.
And old Newton hit his knees and trusted Christ.
Yes. Amen.
He sat down at his table with a pen in hand, and he wrote the most famous words that ever been sung in a Christian church.
Amen.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. He realized what he was. A wretch like me. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. You see, before he didn't even believe there was a God. I was blind, but now I see. What was it so amazing about that grace? The transformation that God had done in his heart. Guarantee you he didn't know no Bible. Guarantee you he didn't know no hymns. He had no religious background. All he knew was what happened in his heart was absolutely, absolutely, wonderfully amazing. Saving grace. It's an amazing grace. It's marvelous grace. Marvelous grace. It's merciful grace. It's matchless grace. And the Bible talks about the magnitude of his grace. You know how big saving grace is? Let me tell you how big saving grace is. You know, parents, bear with me, or bear witness with me. Sometimes grace runs out at the house.
Yes, sir.
Somebody help me.
Amen.
Okay, I told you once. Then I told you twice.
Come on, preacher.
Come here. Grace is empty. But God's grace is so huge and so broad and so wide that it's big enough that it can save every sin that ever has been committed, that is being committed, or will be committed. That saving grace, the magnitude of it is big enough to save every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born, that's living today, and will ever live. Amen. Did you know he's built heaven big enough?
Yes, sir.
Because he said it was not his will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So he put enough of it out there for everybody who needed it. The saving grace of God. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. I can't help it. My grandbaby's flirting with me. The saving grace. Man, some of y'all have been saved so long, you've forgotten.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
I mean, man, it slipped your mind just what it is God did for you.
Yeah, preach.
I was on my way to hell, and now I'm not.
That's right,
and I should still be. I mean, headed that way like a bullet shot out of a gun.
Yes,
but here I stand this morning. Hey, my sins are gone. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God for saving grace.
Amen.
Some of y'all got lost family members. If they died today, they'd bust hell wide open. There's grace available for them.
Yes,
amen.
Sir. Amen.
Amen. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter, or make it 2 Peter. Just go to the right just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I want us to look at another kind of grace. Another kind of grace. Now, the majority of the people in this room have experienced saving grace. I heard a preacher say one time, Brother Jody, something to the effect that he believed 70% of all church members were lost. I don't believe that. I just think it's a lie. I believe there's a lot of people in church that are saved, but that's all they are.
Yeah, right.
They've never went any further in their walk with God. Got real quiet right there. 2 Peter chapter number 3, I want you to look with me at verse number, I believe it's 18. Now watch this. Are y'all there?
Amen.
But grow, but what? Say it with me.
Grace.
But grow in what?
Grace.
Grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Listen, there's saving grace, but then there's growing grace.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it again. There's saving grace, but then there is growing grace.
Amen.
Listen, when a baby is born and the Lord likened our salvation to being born again, the first thing that happens with a baby is he is supposed to grow.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the deal we're praying about with Jonas, and I don't see them this morning, but there's Miss Vanessa. The bone in his leg is not growing like the other bone in his leg is, and it makes one leg shorter than the other. And brother, the doctors are concerned, mom and daddy's concerned, grandmother and grandfather's concerned. Why? Because there's no growth showing where there should be growth. Hey, the preacher's concerned, the Sunday school teacher's concerned, because we see no growth where growth should be showing. Some of you have been hanging around here too long without no noticeable change in your life. You're the same as you was the day you got saved. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing gone. Hey, I'm telling you, the attitude's still the same. I'm telling you, hey, we're supposed to grow. I believe there's some things we can allow that'll stunt our growth.
Yes, sir.
Come Amen. On. When Levi was little, he had some of y'all, it's your appetite problem.
Amen.
Amen. Levi had an appetite problem when he was little. He didn't want nothing but hot dog. That changed. First time he tasted pork chop, biscuit, and gravy, that changed. Amen?
Amen.
But listen, man, we so full of junk, we can't nourish our spiritual man.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, let me ask you a question. If I had a pit bull, first time I preached down there in Florida where me and Sister Angie just were, I stayed with the preacher. And I stayed in his mother's bedroom. She was not there, okay? And I stayed in Granny's bedroom. And I woke up the first morning as I was there. I felt something hot on my face. And I opened my eyes, and there was a pit bull just like this, staring at me. And, brother, I froze. All of a sudden, that thing went. I think, thank God, I'd rather have him lick me. But if I had a pit bull. If I had a pit bull down here on a log chain and had a chihuahua over there on a sewing thread, and we pit them two dogs together right here in the middle and put them in a fight, who you think would win?
Yeah, come on.
That pit bull would, I mean, it'd be like a chicken McNugget. He'd just, it'd be gone, man. Amen. It'd be a taco McNugget. Amen. Let's change the scenario. Let's tie that pit bull on that log chain for about 6-8 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's don't give him nothing to eat.
Yeah, come on.
Let's starve him.
Yes.
Let's let him go days and days and days without water.
Right.
But every day, let's feed this little chihuahua. Let's give him ground beef.
Good preacher. Come on.
Raw eggs. I mean, really pump him up full of protein,
yes, sir,
and vitamins. And at the end of that scenario, bring them out again together.
Yeah,
that pit bull, which should have the ability to come out victorious,
right,
has now been depleted of the nourishment he needs.
That's right, Richard. That's good.
Amen. That's good.
So the one who's supposed to be able to win, are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
The one who's supposed to be able to handle this thing, no problem. God has equipped me with what I need to get through this or to get through that. But because I have malnourished my spiritual man.
Yes.
But hey, your spiritual man's your bulldog.
Yes, sir. Preacher.
Amen. But thanks be unto God, 1 Corinthians 15:58, which giveth us the victory. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen. We ought to be victorious instead of beat down all the time.
That's
but
right,
it's because we've starved. No, yes, Bible, no,
yes,
preaching,
yes,
no praying. I mean, we've starved that spiritual man to death while we fed that fleshly man.
Yeah, come on, brother.
Day in and day out and day in.
Yes.
Give him everything he wants.
Yes, sir.
Any television program he wants, whatever he wants to look at, whatever he wants to hear, whatever he wants to do, okay, flesh, here, baby, go ahead. It's the way we do with these children. These children cry and cry and cry. We give them whatever we want just to shut them up. And that flesh cries and cries and cries, and we just give it whatever it wants to shut it up.
That's right.
We all right?
Yes, sir. Come on.
Some of y'all need to fall under conviction this morning because there's been no growth in your life.
Amen.
You know it. I know it.
Yes, sir.
I could hand pick some.
Yeah, come on.
I love watching baby Christians grow.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I love watching them come in. And they don't know a whole lot of Bible.
That's right.
Sometimes they don't know any. You just watch them start to soak it up.
Yeah.
They go in Sunday school and start soaking up the Sunday school lesson.
Yeah.
They sit on the edge of their seat in every service. They never look at their watch.
Yes, sir.
They never look at their watch. I mean, they're just eating up. I remember when I first got saved. I remember when Brother Earl became our pastor, and I'd sit on that front row. I mean, barely, my rear end, barely hanging on the edge of that pew, buddy, just eating up everything he said. You know what I was doing? I didn't realize it at the time. I was growing.
Yes, sir.
I was growing. I had no idea God was preparing me for this, but he was.
Right.
I had no idea all those years ago from a four-year-old boy that God was preparing me for today,
yeah,
but he was.
Amen.
Growing. Growing grace. Saving grace, then there's growing grace. Listen, you're going forward or backward.
That's right.
I just feel like I'm at a standstill. No, you ain't. You going forward or you backing up?
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to get convicted about their growth this morning.
Amen.
We all right?
Yes.
I've watched people and I love it. I watch them going from being cold and indifferent and then getting right with God. And just start to soak up the things of God and learn of God. He said that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Amen.
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 You want to know? You know what would be a good study for you? Study the life of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Read the Gospels. Absorb them. Soak them up, man.
Yes,
get in there and dig. People get saved and say, oh, I want to study. I want to study the revelation. I'll leave that stuff alone.
Amen.
It's going to play out whether you understand it or not.
Right,
it's going to happen.
Amen.
That's kind of like when people don't believe in the rapture. They will.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen. I believe some of them saved and don't believe in the rapture. They will.
Yeah.
They're going to go, whoo, I guess that is right. Amen.
Amen.
No, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about that stuff. Listen, that'll come later.
Yes, sir.
Grab hold of the book of John.
Amen.
Grab hold of the book of John. Just soak it up. Read you some Psalms every day.
Yes, sir.
Read you a Proverbs every day. Do you know if you'd read one chapter of Proverbs every day, you'd read it through every month?
That's right.
And Proverbs gives you wisdom.
Amen.
Psalms will make you sweet.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Grow. Grow. Yes. Our children out in children's church, they sing a little song. It says, read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Then the second part of it says, neglect your Bible and forget to pray,
yes,
and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, we ought to be growing in grace. I'm getting stuck here for some reason. I know what time it is. Listen, there's some reason that every little thing bothers you.
Right. Come on.
There's some reason that every little thing bothers you.
Yes.
You walk around with a chip on your shoulder 90% of the time.
Come on.
Your feelings are hurt. Listen, man, you would not believe the stuff that is said about me. And I don't care.
Amen.
There was a day, man, when if somebody didn't like something I said in my preaching, I'd go home, I wouldn't be able to go sleep. There was a day when somebody put something on the internet about me, it'd drive me crazy. I don't give a rip.
Hallelujah.
You know why? I've grown a little.
Amen.
Oh, I still don't consider myself an adult as a Christian. But I'm headed that way.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I think maybe I'm a teenager, amen. But I have grown. I've grown a lot since I got saved. Amen. I hit a fellow on the job a couple weeks after I got saved. I ain't hit nobody in a long time. Matter of fact, I think he is the last one. I've grown. I ain't grown. I don't cuss like I used to. I've grown. Amen. Some of you just so touchy. Remember Tiny Tim sang that song, Tiptoe? By the tulips.
Yeah.
We have to tiptoe around the church members.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
And we shouldn't have to. Amen.
Right.
Some of you ought to get your skin a little bit tougher, and you do that by growing.
Amen.
By growing, by growing, by growing. I ain't threw a temper tantrum at home in a long time. I mean, really long time. I used to do that all the time, knock holes in sheetrock. It's the only way I keep hitting her, amen. Some of you men are grinning, and you know what I'm talking. Anyway. I ain't done that in a long time. You know what that is? It's just growth.
Yes, sir.
It's just growth. Some of us ought to ask ourselves, why have I not grown any more than I've grown? It's not God's fault.
Amen, preacher.
It's not the church's fault.
That's right.
Don't come up with this, I'm not being fed. No, you're not
hungry.
You're not hungry.
Amen, preacher.
You're not hungry. Get hungry again. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for
Amen,
they
preacher.
Shall be filled.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. God will feed you if you won't fed. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all got time for two more? I'll make them quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, if I can get there. Y'all doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Just think, the Methodists will be done, and they'll have all fresh food on the buffet when you get there. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And look with me at verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. Let's back up and let's see, verse number 7. The Apostle Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this one thing, what thing? The thorn in the flesh, whatever it was that was bothering Paul and keeping him down in his life, whatever it was. There's speculation about it, and I got ideas, and you got ideas, but it doesn't matter. It was a burden. It was a burden, and some of you have got a burden. You've got a thorn. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times he went to God and asked him that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, I said there is saving grace, there is growing grace, and there is bearing grace. God said, I'll give you the strength to bear it. Amen? Thank God his grace is sufficient. You say, boy, I've looked at situations and thought, I don't know how I could go through what they are going through. You know what? If you ever looked at a situation maybe where there had been a death, the death of a wife, Brother Hal Roscoe called me this morning from New York and said, I just had you on my heart. I want to tell you I love you and I appreciate you. We just buried his wife. I flew to New York just a few months ago and preached her funeral, me and Brother Sam Gipp. And Brother Roscoe is a broken-hearted man. I said, preacher, how are you doing? He said, better, better. Amen. He said, you know, I thought I wasn't going to live through this. They diagnosed him at the hospital with broken heart syndrome. You can grieve yourself to death. And he said, I thought I was going to. He said, but every day, preacher, there was just a little more grace and a little more grace and a little more grace and a little more grace. He said, I miss her as much today as I ever have, but it's not quite so hard. And I'm finding a little joy and I'm finding a little peace and I'm finding a little happiness. Hey, you know what he's discovering? God's grace is sufficient for the impossible.
Amen.
Amen. God's grace is sufficient. I don't care who you are. You're going to have to deal with stuff.
That's right.
Stuff, physical stuff, spiritual stuff, relationship stuff,
amen,
dying stuff. You're going to have to deal with all this stuff, but God's grace is sufficient if you'll trust in it.
That's right.
Don't trust in a drug, trust in grace.
Amen.
Don't trust so much in a counselor, no more than you. Trust in grace. Trust
yes,
the grace of God to see you through. By the grace of God, we'll get through whatever it is we're facing.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. This ministry comes with heavy burdens. I've had a hard time the last few days dealing with what's happened. I don't know another pastor. I don't know of one who's had some of the stuff happen that we've had happen. Brother Tom Washburn fell dead in our bathroom back there a few years ago.
Amen.
Then this thing with Brother Anthony, this is serious.
Yes, sir.
Without the grace of God, he may leave this world. He may be a vegetable for the rest of his life. I don't know, but I'm praying that God would touch him.
Yes,
it gets heavy sometimes. And but if I lean on my understanding and I lean on my strength,
yes,
brother, I feel my find myself broken down very quickly. But to be able to walk out here and preach this morning with a good spirit, amen, with a good attitude this morning,
amen,
hallelujah, to be able to shout while they sing,
yes,
I've got to depend on the grace of God. If I depend on myself, I don't know how to handle this, Brother Freddie. I don't know what to do.
You're right.
Somebody called me on the phone and said, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. I thought, man, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Amen.
We've got to learn to depend on the grace of God.
That's right.
You know what keeps me going? Looking back. Looking back.
Amen.
And remembering that day I stepped into that bathroom. And Sister Sue was standing in that hall with tears running down her face and saying, Brother Eddie, is he alive? Is he okay? Is he okay? And I knew he was gone.
Yeah. Amen.
And having to leave here and go to that hospital. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this. A few years before that, we were in Marstown, Tennessee, took our youth choir, preach a youth rally. The church put us up. They had like a hotel under their fellowship hall. Had a little girl, had never been on a trip with us anywhere before. Her name was Tanya. Tanya got up that morning. We was going to take them to Gatlinburg. She went into the shower and had the first seizure she had ever had in her life, aspirated, and died. I can feel her cold lips as I gave her CPR right now as I speak. And I stood in the hall of the Children's Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I said, God, I'm done. I'm done. I was mad. I had to call a mother and say, your child is gone. I look back and see God's grace was sufficient for that. God got me. Has God's grace got you through some difficult times? You need to remind yourself every time you face difficulty, hey, there was enough grace there, so there'll be enough grace here. And if there's enough grace here, there'll be enough grace there. Got us through that difficulty with Tanya dying. I mean, I'm talking about a 15-year-old precious little girl. It was just God's will. She got saved. Megan led her to the Lord 3 weeks before we took that trip in chapel service. It was God's will. Hey, God knew what he was saving her from.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what her future held, what kind of heartache or hurt.
That's right.
But she belonged to him. He'd take her whenever he wants.
Amen.
God's grace got us through Brother Tom Washburn dying in our bathroom. God's grace has got us through the financial difficulties we faced over the last few years. It's been by the grace of God. It ain't because we got a bunch of rich people. Everybody drives by and looks at this church and thinks we got money. I get 4 or 5 calls a week on my phone, people asking for money. Y'all all right? God's grace brought us this far. It'll lead us on. Amen. There's bearing grace. God will help you if you'll let him. God will help you if you'll let him. I'll give you one more and we're going to the house. David said in that same famous psalm, probably the most famous psalm there is. Lost people know this psalm. When lost people go to planned funerals and they ask if they want scripture on the back of the card, they're the only thing they know. Psalms 23. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even though I have to face death, and we all do, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. This could be your last day on planet Earth. It could be. I don't want it to be. I want us to all live, be 100. And still be in church together. Amen?
Amen.
I want everybody to be happy and healthy. And that's my desire. I love to see people with a smile on their face. But it ain't always like that. It's not always like that. There's saving grace. There's growing grace. There's bearing grace. And then there's dying grace.
Hallelujah.
There's dying grace. You know, I hadn't died yet, but I've experienced dying grace, Brother Freddie. If I wish some of you could be at the bedsides like me and Brother Charles and Brother Freddie had. I'm telling you, and it sounds morbid to say it, but 9 times out of 10, when God's children leave this world, there's a sweetness in the room. There's a sweetness in the room. Brother Michael Powell, I don't know where he's at, probably out with the children, but I remember him standing on one side. How many of you remember little Wanda? Little Wanda was in a wheelchair. She had spinal bifida and rode our buses to church. Me and her picked at each other. Oh, my soul. I remember Brother Michael standing on one side and me standing on the other. And little Wanda was breathing her last breath. And all of a sudden, it felt like somebody opened a window in that room. Brother Michael said, feel that? I said, whoo, I do. It was her ride. It was her ride, brother. Her transportation had a ride. Even though she couldn't say anything, we felt the presence of God.
Yes.
Over and over. We've heard stories of them saying, oh, it's so pretty. That was my grandmother. My great-grandmother, Granny Fuller, the one who always said praise God anyhow. I mean, boy, she hadn't said a word in a long time. She just looked up and went, oh, it's so pretty. Oh, them was hallucinations. You go ahead and believe that if you want to. There's dying grace. Many of us have stood in a funeral home together over a loved one. Most of the time me with y'all, but a couple of times y'all with me. The day we stood at Bellamy Funeral Home, my daddy's body was laying there, who I was robbed of a relationship with for years. Thank God he restored it. And I thought, there's no way, Brother Jody. I told Brother Bellamy, I said, you're just probably going to have to do this because I don't think I can. And that dying grace came. And God allowed me.
Amen.
We've experienced it.
Amen.
It's not just for the dying. It's for the living.
Amen.
I've had so many. Brother Charles's dear mother. I sat in her bedroom by her bed. And she grabbed my face just like this. And you remember that day? And she pulled me right down to her. And she said, Brother Eddie, I want to go home. She was laying in her own bed.
Yeah.
She wasn't talking about Rockmart, Georgia.
That's right.
She wasn't talking about Rockmart, Georgia. She was talking about a home far beyond this world. Amen. Hey, she had the grace of God. She said, my bags are packed. My ticket's been paid for. I'm ready to go. Dying grace. Brother Johnny, it was tough that day in Alabama. You had to bury your dad. I'll never forget as long as I live. I've told it all over the country since then. Every time I preach that message about the birds. We're standing by the graveside. It's a Sunday after, I believe, I'd preach that message about birds are still singing. The funeral thing, the graveside service is about to start. I got my Bible open and the funeral people's had everybody sit down. Johnny gets up out of his seat and crawls up over that dirt mound, put his arm around me and said, listen, the birds are still singing. You know what that was? That was God looking at his child. He said, that boy's heart's breaking. And he needs some peace and he needs some encouragement. And I believe the Lord stepped out like a choir director in front of that little hedgerow and said, okay, birds, y'all ready? Let's sing. And those birds just started singing. Hey, his grace. His grace. Do you know it? Do you know his grace? You've experienced his grace, whether you know it or not. Have you experienced that saving grace? Do you know if you die today, heaven would be your home? Oh, there's grace for you. If you want to get in this morning, let's stand to our feet. There's growing grace. Are you growing like you ought to? Are you where you ought to be spiritually? There's growing grace. Are you going through a trial and a trouble? Sister Elizabeth, you come, and Ashley, they'll sing for the invitation. Are you going through something that's kind of hard and kind of tough? Hey, God's grace is sufficient for it. Whatever it may be, it may even be just a financial difficulty, but his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Probably every one of us in this room been broke before. Been broke before, didn't know how we was going to get out of what we was in. You're here this morning. You're here this morning. Won't you just come trust in his grace? God dealing with your heart, you come. This altar's open this morning. You mind the Lord. Listen, while they're coming, I wonder if we could just bow our heads. They're not quite ready to sing yet. I wonder if you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. I need to know that saving grace. Please pray for me. I wouldn't come to you or embarrass you for nothing. Just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, say, preacher, pray. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Anybody? Just slip up your hand, put it right back down. How about this, preacher? I know I'm saved, but I know I'm not where I ought to be. I need that growing grace. How about that? Stick your hand up. Hands all over this building. You can put them down. Preacher, I need that bearing grace. I'm going through some trials, and boy, I need the grace of God to help see me through. How about that? Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this afternoon, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for the mighty grace of God. Lord, I pray there's some here today that will experience that saving grace. Lord, that growing grace, that bearing grace. And Lord, when the time comes, Lord, we know that dying grace will be available. Father, we thank you. You saw all the hands. You know all the hearts. Now have your way. We'll give you glory for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God dealing with your heart. Why don't you come?